Praise the Lord. We're going to talk today about there is prophetic power in your own voice. Prophetic power in your own voice. It's very important. Prophetic simply means that you speak what's coming. You speak what's coming. You foresee and you say what's going to be. Power, of course, means power. The ability for something to shape you, to shape the surrounding, and of course in your own voice, because in essence, you think about it, it's built into you that you believe what you say. Go ahead and elbow somebody and say, you end up believing all the stuff you say. Go ahead and tell them. So watch out. Watch out what you say. Watch out what you say. Now, this is not a religious teaching. It's easy to walk through the scriptures and turn this into a real letter that kills instead of a spirit that gives life kind of message. This is my goal, is that you would have the spirit that gives life kind of uplifting understanding, because the Lord's love is so powerful and so potent. When you begin to get revelation of who He is in your life and you begin to speak from His perspective of who you are, then things really change better for you. You see, I remember being a little boy and some not so nice things that were said to me. And because I was a little boy, they went in unfiltered. And when you have things said to you that are unfiltered, they just form your belief system, and they could be derogatory things. And you can probably, somebody maybe in this size group probably had somebody potentially say something extremely negative to you. It's possible, right? And I remember some aunt, she said to my brother and me and my brother, she says, "My, what handsome little boys." And so I never grew up thinking I was ugly because my aunt said, it was unfiltered. I was like, I must be a handsome little boy. My aunt said so. And that went in. So the Lord knows who you really are. He knows the high quality, exceptional, best version of you. When He created you in the womb, He purposed to raise you up through Christ's power to become all He intended you to be. Look at somebody and say, amen. Amen. So the question here is, through whose eyes do you view your life? Who you look at? When you look at yourself in your life, what eyes are you looking through? Are you looking through the unregenerated, unredeemed kind of a brokenness and a bad filter of things that went into you? Are you actually looking at yourself from the eyes of Jesus? Because He sees, I want to tell you something. This is a new dawning thing coming on the inside of me. The Lord doesn't see you in any regard sinful. Zero. He sees you shame-free and sin-free. Can you get a hold of that? The Lord loves you so deeply. When He speaks to you, He's not taking into account how you feel about yourself from all your fumblings and stumblings and all that stuff. He's thinking in terms of that original intention that He made you, the high-quality, exceptional, best version of you. And He wants to speak that into you. So I say, Holy Spirit, come and begin to release the pictures of that, the words of that, the inward knowing of that about your own life. He wants to take you up. Somebody needs this today, don't you? Somebody needs to, because the Lord feels deeply about you. Proverbs 18:21 just hits us in the face like a baseball bat. Death and life. Say it with me. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Stop for a minute. Now, once you know that, Heather and I, we were in a retreat one time and we were being prayed for. And I'm going to get graphic here. But we were dealing with the spirit of death. The spirit of death. And I'm thinking, I'm a pastor, so there's no way I got a spirit of death. But I had this inability to say real positive things about myself. And I was prayed for, and it came up, and it went out. And it loosed my tongue to begin to speak over my life things that I could never speak before. I could say them, but I didn't believe them. And when I got delivered from the sense of the oppression of something that bound up my ability to say quality things about myself, there was something changed deeply after that. So death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so this next part says, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I begin to enjoy more of the revelation of things that God would give. Let's look at Colossians 3, 9 and 10. It says, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self and its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Sounds like a great big sentence. Everybody said, I'm made in the image of my creator. You see, that original you is made as a reflection of him. It's a reflection of him. So how do you put on the new self? Because, you know, how in the world are we renewed after the image of our creator? Because listen to this. If you have a poor self-image, you will speak poorly over your life. Is that right? If you have a good self-image, you'll speak well over your life. I already said this, but the Lord is deeply invested in you having your self-image formed by what he says. And so let's look first at the downside of this, and then we'll look at the... In Matthew 12, 33 through 37, I want to read this. I don't have it up there, but I'll just read it to you. Either Jesus is talking here. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. Then he's talking to these Pharisees. He says, you brood of vipers, how would you like to be sitting there and Jesus call you a snake? And that just these guys were just bad. They were religiously really bad people. And they were trying to make other people like them. And so Jesus reads their mail and says, you got to make the fruit good. You got to make the tree good before the fruit will be good. He says, how can you speak good when you're evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How many of you know that? The good person out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. The evil person out of the evil treasure brings forth evil. So here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, since you already speak from the abundance of your heart, what is in your heart, you by his power can change your heart. He's saying this, make the tree good and its fruit good. Wow. Is that easy? You know, it's a funny thing about the Lord. He says this stuff and it sounds so easy. For the longest time, I would be speaking something positive about the Lord, but then I knew who was saying it. I was saying it. And I didn't believe me. How many of you went down that path? You're trying to talk yourself into something, and you just know that that's the whole old nature. That's the practices of the old nature. In fact, one more downer scripture, and then we'll get to the up ones. It's okay. Don't leave me on the downer ones. James 3, 2 through 8. It's basically, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it's about stumbling in many ways. But if somebody doesn't stumble with what he says, he's a perfect man. Just put up the summary. Here's the summary of this. This is the summary of what's there in James 3, 2 through 8. Look at this. It says, the tongue is like a bit. You know what a bit is? It's a tongue depressor. You know, if you put a bridle on a horse, it has this little thing in the mouth, and it's like bent like this. And when you pull the horse, the thing goes down on his tongue, and he's like, well, I better do what he says because this hurts. And so the bridle has to do with controlling the entire horse because you're controlling it with that little bit. Also says that the tongue is like a very small rudder that guides a great big ship. Says the tongue is like a small fire that sets a whole forest ablaze. Look at how those things have been. Tongue. It says the tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. This is basically the meaning. Our tendency is to prophesy doom and death to our lives and the lives of others. That's just the tendency that you have. Okay, so your old nature is always about the doom and gloom side, isn't it? So how in the world do you change that? Let's look at the upside now. Ephesians 1, 16 through 20. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers that God, the Lord Jesus, the Father of glory. Listen to this. Go ahead and put the scripture up. May give you the spirit of wisdom. Everybody say, a spirit of wisdom and of revelation. Say of revelation. This is really important. This word is a big $20 theological word. It means that you're blind to something And God makes it known to you. I was blind to so many things. I was bound in so many ways. And I kept asking God, and God says, and I would seek him, and he would give me an encounter, an experience with him that would be transformational. And it would reveal something about him that would change me. And I would see who he is. And this says, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. This is a spiritual thing. This is a spiritual revelation. For you and I to be, for God to open our hearts and to encounter him and to see who we are to him. All through the Bible, people did that. God revealed to Moses, take off your sandals. This is where you're standing is holy ground. And Jesus to Peter. Peter, he says, you know, he revealed who he was to Peter. Peter, he says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Next thing you know, Peter flips. He's seized by God's revelation to his heart. And Jesus says, it's not by flesh and blood this was revealed to you, but by my Father in heaven. And then he says, on the basis of this revelation that you're receiving right now, I'm going to just make this the foundation of your revelation of Jesus Christ is going to be the foundation of the church. And I'm going to call you Rock. And he changes his name from Simon to Peter. He changes his name. Same thing with Paul. Paul is just this rough and tough and tangled up old Pharisee, beating up people for what he thinks God wants. And then his world is invaded. He has an encounter with Jesus Christ. And when he has the encounter with Jesus Christ, he ends up changing his name. I didn't change my name. The Lord revealed the purpose or the meaning of my name. I didn't even like my name. How many of you, there's things about you didn't even care about, and then the Lord reveals what it was. Isn't that good? The Lord showed me one time. I was sitting at the dinner table with my mom and dad, and we were there in North Carolina, and the Lord said, because my dad named me Roger. You know where he got that? He was in the military. And they would say, Roger. But do you know what it means? The Lord, I was sitting at the table, and the Lord gave me a revelation of who I was to him. He said, I named you Roger because it means communication received and understood. And my biggest heart's challenge all the time when I stand here is, how can I convince you of the depth of God's love for you? And it comes by revelation. Now, I want to hand you a wonderful revelation from the Word of God, the Genesis principle. I call it the Genesis. It's a principle in Genesis. Are you ready? Read that with me. God never does anything without saying it first. Now, let that sink in for a minute. There's 10 times in the book of Genesis where he is saying this. Look at this. God said, let there be light. There was light. God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters. Let it separate the waters from the waters. That happened. God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together in one place. Let the dry land appear. That happened. God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, fruit-bearing seed in which there's seed, each according to its kind on the earth. That happened. God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day and the night. Let them be for signs of for seasons and days and years. And it goes on. That happened. Let the water swarm with the swarms of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth. He says, God said. Everything's saying happened on the basis of him saying it. And he made you in his image, and he needs your tongue to begin to speak who he says you are. And faith is a very simple concept. It's the ability to conceive God's word in your heart and then say it out loud with your own voice, the very truths of what God says we are to him. And in this way, we're giving place to the dynamic love expressed in the spiritual force of faithful words that transforms us. A very big part of the transformation of the follower of Christ is when he begins believing and speaking what God says we are to him. And you are made in God's image to release prophetic power through your own voice. Let's go ahead and just say that. I'm his beloved. He loves me more than he loves you. That's a fun one right there. Well, how about this? I believe he loves me more than you believe he loves you. How about that one? Let's try that. How about this one? This one really messes with you. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. not because of anything I've done, but because of who he declares I am to him. You know, Jesus never said one negative word about himself. And you're made in his image. He's redeeming you into that image. And he would like you to never say one negative thing about yourself. Because words are so powerful. There's death and there's life in those words. Can I have a little, I feel like, instead of an amen, I feel like I'm getting an oh my, but I don't know. God wants you and me to really embrace the reality that we are made in his image and that we're good. My brother used to say it like this, Jesus don't make no junk. Go ahead and tell somebody, Jesus don't make no junk. Just go ahead and tell him, I'm the apple of his eye. I'm the pleasure of his heart. He loves me. He's destined me for good things. He wants you to be, as we say down south, be shed of those things that encumber you and cause you not to walk in the fullness and the freedom of who you are in him. Let's praise him just for a moment. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Now I want to walk through something with you here about how the Jewish culture is a culture of blessing. And the Jewish ritual of blessing their children when the Sabbath candles are lit and they place their hands on the children's head and they speak blessing. And here's what happens. Let me have Matthew, come on up here right quick. Because you're younger than me. You could actually be my son or something. So let's say it's the Sabbath and you're standing here. Yes, right. Well, stand in front of me like this, and I put my hand here, and I say, may God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, what in the world does that mean? And here's what it means. When Joseph was in the land of Egypt, his firstborn was named Manasseh. Manasseh means, God has made me forget all the hardship and all my father's house. Okay? Just let that sink in. God makes you forget your hardship. Let's say that. God make you forget. Now, Ephraim, the second one, was named Ephraim. For God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Let's say that. God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. And then Jacob, who's named Israel, prophesied that this would be the blessing spoken over all God's people. Okay? Now, I need to have John, you come on up here right quick. So let's pretend for a minute. You stand right here. One of you stand here, whatever. Okay, let's pretend that you're the second born. You're Ephraim. And let's pretend that you're Manasseh. No, let's switch it. Sorry, let's switch it. let's make it work because he is older. Let's pretend for a minute. Now, watch this. Joseph came in to have his children blessed by Jacob. That's what he brought him in to do. And he brought Manasseh to be here at his right hand so he would speak the first blessing on him. Okay? And then he brought, come on up closer. And he brought Ephraim. And this is what Jacob does. Jacob puts his right hand on Ephraim and his left hand on Manasseh. And Joseph freaks out. Joseph says, what are you doing? He says, I know what I'm doing. Now think about this. So if now he's taking the secondborn and he's putting the blessing of the firstborn on the secondborn. Because what's the first priority is God saying, it's not about you forgetting stuff. It's about I'm going to make you fruitful in the land of your affliction. That's first. That's first on my heart. Now watch this. How does he do that? When I cross my arms, what does that form? It forms the cross. And God is saying, because of the cross of Jesus Christ, I'm going to make you fruitful in the land of your affliction. And I'm going to make you forget all of your pain. Because of the cross of Jesus, I'm going to promote the goodness that everything that worked against you, I'm going to make it Ephraim. I'm going to cause you to be fruitful in affliction. Just receive that blessing. Because they say this, these are the sons that come up before the Father on Sabbath after the candles are lit. And they put this and they say, may the blessing of Ephraim first and Manasseh second be upon you. Thank you. And then, well, let's just praise the Lord for a moment. Thank you, Lord. We receive this blessing, Lord. We receive this blessing in the name of Jesus. Now, come on. Now, I'm not going to have a bunch of, tell you what, I'll just do this with it. And now for the daughters, they say this. May God make you like, and they name four ladies' names. They make you like Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah. And they have incredible stories. But I want to bring up just one. I want to bring up one. Because, see, in Sarah, you have Abraham's wife. In Rebekah, you have Isaac's wife. And in Jacob, you have his two wives. And Rachel was loved, and Leah wasn't. Look at this verse. Genesis 29, 31. Look at this verse. When the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. What I want you to hear today is that the Lord sees when you're abandoned. And part of the blessing, he says, I want to bless you with the blessing of Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel. But, oh, yes. And Leah. Because there's many, many, many women's hearts that have felt this. And God sees when you're not loved. He sees when your heart has been bruised and overlooked. He says, the blessing of Leah is that God sees, get this, he sees your pain and he opens fruitfulness to you. He sees your pain, he sees the pain of your not being loved and he opens up fruitfulness to your life. Praise you, Lord. And then, isn't that good? Listen, let's just, may the Lord make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. May the Lord make you like Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel and Leah. But that's not all. That's not all. What happens next, this is the beginning place when the candles are lit at the Sabbath. This is next. To the daughter, and they say the daughter's name. Terry, just stand here right quick. Just stand up. It says, Terry, and this is the blessing. Be who you are, and may you be blessed in all that you are. Be who you are, and may you be blessed in all that you are. Come on, stand up, John. And so you're the son, and he says to the son, the same, very same thing. John, be who you are, and may you be blessed in all that you are. Isn't this something? Be who you are, and may you be blessed in all that you are. And they're not done. Then they're saying, the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So there's invoking the blessing of the Lord from the patriarchs, and they put that on these unfiltered belief systems of these children. And these unfiltered belief systems, they go in, and I will be like Ephraim, and I will be like Manasseh, like my aunt saying, these are handsome young boys. And I will be like Sarah and Rebecca. And I will be like Rachel, and I will be like Leah. And there's the blessing. And now who you are, I want you blessed in all that you are. Some of you need to hear that today. The Lord wants to say to you, I want to bless you in all that you are. Let's just lift our heads to the Lord right now. Let me say it over you. Be who you are, and may you be blessed in all that you are. Now I want you to say your name. And then we'll say it. Go ahead and say your name. Whisper your name. Be who you are, and may you be blessed in all that you are. There is a spiritual power and weight to the very character of blessing. And the culture and the ritual of blessing is so important. And I believe the Father today wants to speak blessing over you and to cause you to open up to a depth of who He is. I'm going to turn the order of what I wanted to do around because we have plenty of time here. And then after blessing, look at this. After the blessing, it says that some parents take a moment to whisper something to their child, praising him or her for something he or she did during the week, or conveying some extra encouragement or love. And many families conclude the blessing with a kiss or a hug. So they flood the child with the goodness of the Lord. Then this other idea is that in Zephaniah 3:17, it says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing." This is Father's attitude toward you, Father God. He's going to rejoice over you. I want to sing a song, and then we'll minister communion, okay? Lord, it is when I'm dry, you tune into my heart's cry, and without a word, I know I'm heard by you. My heart rises up in love, yearning communion above. Deep in my spirit, I start to hear it come through. Come through over me. I hear my Father's song, singing in tones that make me know that I belong. He causes me to draw my life from Him alone. And I'll sing my Father's song. Your love is beyond and I only find it there. Before your throne, my heart is at home with you. This eternal melody awakens your family, and each of us own it. Through Jesus you've shown it's true. It's true over me. I hear my Father's song, singing in tones that make me know that I belong. He causes me to draw my life from Him alone. And I'll sing my Father's song over me. I hear my Father's song, singing in tones that make me know that I belong. He causes me to draw my life from Him alone. And I'll sing my Father's song. And I'll sing my Father's song. Amen. Let's applaud the Lord. Let's bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and have those preparing for our communion. Hallelujah. We're going to go ahead and take the elements and pass out our communion and take this in hand, and we'll all be served together. I feel the delight of the Lord, don't you? I feel the sweetness. I feel the specialness of the Lord's love in here, and I feel His tenderness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that good? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. There's so many of us that we believed Jesus, and He began to take what was broken, and He put us back together. Isn't that something? And that's what this communion is about. It's about you coming broken and Him making you whole. That's the whole point. You bringing your old nature and God giving you His new nature. Because this bread, He says, this is my body. And His body was a brand new nature that you've never had before. And you can begin to walk in the newness of who you are in Jesus Christ. I don't know who's blessed more, me or you guys. I'm very grateful. Listen, I'm going to go ahead and become what Jesus has made me to be. And I'm going to not back off. I'm going to go ahead and be more of what... I want you to become all that you... I want you to be what you're made to be. Let's hold it up and just receive that blessing. It says, the Lord bless you and make you to be all that He intended you to be. That you would become the high quality, exceptional, best version of yourself through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that your mouth would begin to proclaim prophetically the good things that God has declared who He is in your life. And you would begin to embrace who He says you are more than the failures of your past. That you would become who He says you are. He does not put in the equation your sin at all. He's taken care of the sin. Oh man, I feel like something's going to break. Some sinful thing is going to break. When you take this, there's a release of His power to bring you out. Because there's some of you have the treasure of who you know you are in Christ buried in you. But you've had let other things dictate and rob and take that away. And the Lord says, no, no, no. I have caused you to rise up and walk in ways that you haven't tasted, but I've called you to with it. I've called you to speak into situations that you're going to speak into. I've called you to live and be a presence in places that you haven't been. There's more. Let me just say there's more. There's more by the Spirit of the Lord. There's more. Let's praise Him. There's more. Praise you, Lord. Woo! Praise you, Jesus. And the powerful thing about this bread is this. Jesus rose from the grave. And the same power that raised Him from the dead dwells in you and me. Let's go ahead and praise Him. And as we partake, let's say, Father God, I receive Your blessing on me. And I receive it deeply. You have invested in my life, Lord. And it's a good investment. And I rise up to be whole in You, Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's partake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody asked Billy Graham one time, how come you made it so far? He said, well, I just think it's because I just might be a better repenter than most. What is repentance? It has nothing to do with shame. Repentance is the revelation comes and you go, oh, it's this way. I was heading over here, but oh, I got revelation now. I'm going where God is. That's repentance. Confession is saying the same thing God says. If God says, hey, the son, because there's never condemnation in conviction, it just doesn't exist. He says, well, I remember that. The Lord says, I had this failure in my life over and over and over. And the Lord says, he was basically, Roger, look up here. And I didn't want to because I had to look at the sin. You know, he was like he wasn't even calling. He said, just lift your head and look at me. Just lift your head and look at me. And finally, I lifted up. He says, and I looked it up and I acknowledged the sin. And he suddenly took the power of it away. He just evaporated it. And what it is He washed the shame out of my soul that I felt bad for it. He just took it away. And that's for us to go on into, I'm not only going to make you forget about all the things that happened, but I'm going to bless you in the land of affliction. And so here's the thing. Go ahead and receive the cup. And as we receive the cup, This is the holy wine of Jesus Christ, declaring that this is my blood, and the blood makes atonement. And what the blood does is it washes her mouth out. So, if you've spoken things that you should not have spoken about your life, and it's not the best version of you, let's go ahead and say, I repent for it. I repent for not speaking out the high quality, exceptional, best version of who I am. This is what I believe is going on. This is at least my spirit. This is my heart. It is my desire that you be caught up in the Lord's high quality love for you. That it become the motivation of your life. That you would receive Him in new ways all the time. That you would understand the depth of His love for you. That would become what you walk on and how you navigate. Because He wants to take you on. And it's, look, I just want to know, when you go to heaven, you're going to be in a level of bliss. And the Lord says, would you just allow me to give you some of it now? And let's just walk in this together. Because there's something extraordinary when that love rests on your life. People say, I got to have some of that. And we walk in the unity and the blessing of the Spirit of the Lord because of it. So in the spirit of repentance before the Lord, go ahead and allow Him to wash your mouth from every negative or derogatory statement you've ever spoken of your own life or any belief that you have that is against you, and let Him wash that from you in the name of Jesus. Let's partake. Humility is a pure, God-given assessment of who you really are. That's what humility is. It's a pure, God-given assessment of who you really are in His eyes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Holy Spirit came and the first mention of the Holy Spirit in the Bible is He came and He brooded over the face of the deep. And there was chaos and confusion, and the Holy Spirit came and brooded over the face of the deep, and then God spoke and He said, let there be light. I just feel like the Lord's brooding over the deep things in us. He's just brooding over that, and He wants to bring about a new level of His authority, a new level of His purpose in each of us. Let's go ahead and stand together. We're going to dismiss, but I want you to know, if there's an area of your own soul that you still want a prayer for, which there's most likely, let's go ahead and come forward in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I just ask a sealing work of everything that went in the heart. And I pray, Father, for us to go from glory to glory. Amen. God love you. We're dismissed.